I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about how the Girl Scouts are working to protect Old Glory. Partnering with the Indiana War Memorials Commission and the 500 Festival, the Girl Scouts are collecting old and tattered flags for proper retirement. We'll talk about their efforts to send the Stars and Stripes off in the right way with guests Dina Podorf and Deborah Hearn-Smith of the Girl Scouts of Central Indiana, Indiana War Memorial Executive Director General Stuart Goodwin, and Kelby Hicks of the 500 Festival. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits at WFYI.org, Twitter is WFYI, Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about Girl Scouts for Glory, Old Glory, basically about flag etiquette and how we should treat the Stars and Stripes. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, I've got a group of guests who are all connected with this effort, Deborah Hearn-Smith and Dina Podorf of the Girl Scouts of Central Indiana, General Stuart Goodwin, who's the executive director of the Indiana War Memorial, and Kelby Hicks of the 500 Festival Program and Development Committee. Welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Certainly. Thank you. Certainly. Well, I'd like to start. Tell me a little bit about what this effort is. And I'll start with you, Deborah, but tell me about Girl Scouts for Old Glory, what the impetus was and how it got started.
Well, it's a part of our very, very core of what Girl Scouting is. We were founded in 1912 on the principles of service and patriotism. And as the years have gone by, we have done various projects and causes that promote girls understanding what patriotism is and how best to give and serve the country that we hold dear. Currently, what we have found with the increased interest in people displaying the flag, we find more and more flags are now worn and used and are ready to be retired. And we seem to have a lack of understanding across society about how do you do that. People really want to be respectful of the flag. They know they have flags that they no longer should be displaying, but what to do. And that's where the Girl Scouts come in. Working with General Goodwin, we have found that we can collect those flags, and we can then respectfully retire the flag. And that's a great opportunity. This is something our girls can do from kindergarten through age 18. Age is not a factor. And they learn a very important part of what it is to be an American and what it is to serve. So partnering with the War Memorial and with the 500 Festival Parade, we have now for a couple of years at the parade told anyone to bring their worn, their tattered flag. And then we use those flags in an educational program all summer for girls to learn how to respectfully retire the flag. And we really stand on the fact that if you learn as a young age how to respect your country and serve your country, it's not something that leaves you as you get older. We have studies that show women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s who are voting at higher percentage than the general public because of their involvement in Girl Scouting and where they learn patriotism and the responsibilities as well as the privileges. So that, in a nutshell, is who we are and what we're doing. And it's just a core value that we give girls, and we give it with a hands-on experience.
General Goodwin, how does the War Memorial plug into this? I mean, I'm assuming, obviously, the connection was you wanted to see some reverence for the flag. But what do you try to teach the girls, and tell me how your involvement works?
Well, this is a great opportunity and a definite win-win, because what we try to do in the military is that obviously we have great respect for the flag that we put a uniform on to protect and up to and including our lives. And so we had an opportunity for the Girl Scouts to come and talk to us one day, and one of the things that we talked about was a community service. What was something that we could do that would connect community service and maybe the military or that type of thing? And so we kicked that idea around a little bit, and we came up with the flag retirement. This is something that those of us that are a little bit older, we learned in school or we learned from our parents. And today it's a subject that is not widely taught. Of course, I come from a time when in school we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day. And so that was at a time I can remember when you learn about flag etiquette, protocol, and that kind of business, which is simply not done in these days. And so what happened was that we saw that this was a great idea, and one of the things we definitely want to make sure that we include is the American Legion. Mm-hmm. And how the American Legion, we brought them in, and the American Legion has some core values, and one of them is Americanism. And so we got the folks from the Legion that were up to speed with protocol, mm-hmm. and that kind of business, and so that make sure that we teach the young ladies the proper way of doing this. You know, it's I can remember the first couple of times that we got together, people talked about burning the flag. And this is something that, you know, we try to stay away from that, because burning the flag is what people who don't have any respect for us do with it in some foreign countries and even in our country today. But this is a retirement. This is a piece of cloth that has served its country just like those of us in the military do. But its time of service is over. And so what when they're tattered or when they're frayed or when they've lost color, now's the time to perform that service and to close the chapter on that flag from the standpoint of respect. And so it's been a great opportunity, and it's something that the War Memorial, we're just very excited about partnering with the Girl Scouts, and we plan on doing this for the foreseeable future, because it's, as I said, it's a win-win for everybody.
Kelby, how does the 500 Festival fit into this mix?
I think this is a natural a partnership between the 500 Festival, the Girl Scouts, the War Memorial. I think that it's, you know, we strive to be a community involvement event group, and we do all these events with the mini marathon and Kids Day and, you know, especially the memorial service, you know, working with the community and trying to foster a positive impact. And I think that this progression, this partnership just came about as a perfectly natural, you know, partnership, as I just said. But the impact of the city, and that's kind of what we're going for. We want people to show pride in Indianapolis and Indiana, and the Girl Scouts with their service and their connection to patriotism. I think it works perfectly. And, you know, while we exist to celebrate the legacy of the Indianapolis 500, we also are very cognizant of the fact that the biggest event in Indianapolis takes place on Memorial Day weekend. And we stop on Friday afternoon with the 500 Festival Memorial Service presented by Rolls-Royce to take time out of our day to kind of remember why we're here and what the weekend's all about. And so I think that, you know, at the heart of what the 500 Festival mission is, it is about community involvement, fostering positive impact. And when this partnership came up last year to, you know, drop off flags at the 500 Festival, IPL 500 Festival Parade, it was a perfect, of course we said yes, it was a perfect partnership. And so we're excited, and we've kind of grown it this year, and I'm excited to see how we can grow it next year and how we can, you know, make more people in Indianapolis aware and state of Indiana aware of this, you know, connection that we have.
We are talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory and flag etiquette here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Dina, how excited do the girls get about this? I mean, this process. How involved are they?
Oh, you know, they're so very excited about it. If I could just add to what Kelby said, Rolls-Royce actually sent a staff member down to the parade with more than 30 U.S. flags that their staff had collected to bring down to the Indiana War Memorial before the parade. So we really appreciated them for jumping on board and for supporting our effort as well. So I just want to make sure that we acknowledge Rolls-Royce's support of this too. We had a Girl Scout Gold Award recipient this year named Brandy Wade. And Brandy, her whole Girl Scout Gold Award project, and to back up just a second, the Girl Scout Gold Award is the highest award that a Girl Scout can earn. Her entire project was partnering with her local American Legion post, collecting United States flags, teaching the Girl Scouts around her all about respect for the flag. And then she actually installed a very lovely decommissioned U.S. PS post box to collect flags at her American Legion post as well. And then she came down when we launched the service project in April at the Indiana War Memorial. She actually came down and she led a flag retirement ceremony for about 250 people, Girl Scout family members and friends, some folks from the American Legion, and so on, to really launch this flag retirement project. So our Girl Scouts are so very involved, very excited. They're all very moved by the experience that we had for the launch.
How many girls are involved in this, of the Girl Scouts in Central Indiana? How many of them?
You know, we serve about 40,000 Girl Scouts across Central Indiana, across the 45 counties that we do. And we build every year on collecting the flags. We started 2012 for the 100th anniversary of Girl Scouting. This will be our third year. And more Girl Scouts each year get involved with collecting flags, bringing them into our service centers and so on.
We are talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory and flag etiquette here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to break out into a song like Girl Scouts Forever, Happy Are We. And I was a Girl Scout, a Brownie, in 1946. So I went all the way up through high school, and it was a wonderful friendship. Mm-hmm. I was a teacher for 35 years. And when I went to Hawaii, I bought a flag to replace the one in my room. And it was from the USS, now I can't remember, whatever. But the thing is, all the other teachers saw it, and they went to the PTA, and we taught at a General Douglas MacArthur Elementary School, and they thought we should have nice flags in the PTA. Gave us flags, and then we called the U.S. Navy. The recruiter came out, and we had an outdoor program, and each class had participated in the program. And then the Navy burnt the flag in a big barrel. They told the children, you know, how respectful it was. And that's just down memory lane. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call and the story, Ellen.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, so the girls who are involved, we've got 40,000, but how many of those girls are involved with this specific initiative? Do we have an idea, Deborah?
I would, judging from the amount of flags we collect and understand we're in 45 counties,
mm-hmm.
I would say probably half of our girls are involved in some way.
So 20,000 girls?
At least 20,000. Either in the collection of the flag or participating in a retirement. In some way, I'd say 50% of our girls. All of our girls are involved with patriotism. Uh-huh. We also have a program that other girls are involved in where you actually, they give you a little button because you promise a Girl Scout you'll vote. So we, all of our girls in a year do something, they service back to the country.
And General Goodwin, you mentioned that you partner with the American Legion and all of that. How many veterans, then, on the other side, in terms of the mentoring and that part of the partnership, are involved?
Well, I'd say there's probably with the people, the folks from the Americanism and the folks that we have at our place, there's probably 25 or 30. But I think one of the things that Deborah brought up a very good point is that we will never know how many times these Girl Scouts have talked to neighbors or they have family members. I've met the Girl Scouts. They're not shy. They're not a shy group, which is great. And I'm sure that once they know about the difference.
I think anyone who's been hit up for cookies
exactly.
will all attest to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That if they would see a tattered flag or a flag that needs to be retired, they'd probably go up and knock on somebody's door and say, you know, we have this program, and to believe that education is what's really important about this from the standpoint that there are people that don't understand about how disrespectful it is when a flag has reached its service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to say that in this town, like in a lot of towns, there are a lot of flags that need to be retired. And so this might be a word to get people out to find a way, because we don't know what to do with it. We don't want to throw it in the dumpster. We won't want to do this. Well, now there's a way to do this.
We are talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory. Basically, we're talking about the effort to faithfully retire old flags, do so in the proper fashion. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Deborah Hearn-Smith and Dina Potorf of Girl Scouts of Central Indiana, General Stuart Goodwin of the Indiana War Memorial, and Kelby Hicks of the 500 Festival. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory flag etiquette today on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Deborah Hearn-Smith and Dina Potorf of Girl Scouts of Central Indiana, General Stuart Goodwin, who's the executive director of the Indiana War Memorial, and Kelby Hicks, the 500 Festival Program and Development Manager. Well, General Goodwin, we've been talking about this whole effort, and we probably now ought to go into the subject itself of flag etiquette. First, take me through the signs that a flag is ready to be retired. You've already established here that you're training these Girl Scouts, and some of them are every bit as aggressive about protecting the flag as they are about selling cookies. And they'll go up and knock on doors and tell you maybe that there's a flag that's retired. If you don't want to have the Girl Scouts come knock on your door and embarrass you, what are some of the signs that maybe you ought to go seek them out and say, I've got a flag that needs to be properly retired?
I can tell you that I've seen some that are hanging from one attachment to the pole. Mm-hmm. That's probably a clue right there that you're way past. But really, it has to deal with the fabric itself. It has to deal with the color. The colors ought to be sharp, the red, white, and blue. Any time that the flag has been outside for an extended period of time, it gets frayed, especially on the end where the wind flaps and whips it. If there's any structural damage to the flag, then that's a clue that that it needs to be retired. Basically, it's a color thing. It has to deal with the fading of the colors, and then the structural integrity of the flag itself. And then it should come down. And in fact, I know this sounds strange, but it would be better to have a flag taken down and no flag put back up than it would be to fly a tattered flag, because it's just a sign of disrespect.
And walk me through real quickly what the proper way to retire a flag is.
The proper way is to get in touch with the Girl Scouts.
We'll cue Dina and Deborah here, and they'll give the URLs and the contact information and all of that.
The thing is to take the flag down and to find a proper way of retiring it. And retiring the flag at this point in time in our history is to have the flag retired in a fire ceremony. Now, there was a time in our period, and there'll be some of your listeners that'll remember when they used to bury the flag, and that flag protocol has gone away. And so the flag in a retirement ceremony where the right words are said, the right respect is paid, and then the flag is put to rest by fire.
What are the right words?
Oh, there's an extended ceremony that goes along with it that talks about what happens and the fact that the flag is very much symbolized just as a human being, is the fact that it was a representative of our nation, that it had provided service honorably, and now is the time to retire the flag.
Okay, so since to do all of this, we need to contact the Girl Scouts. Dina, tell me, is there a URL? If you've got a flag, if I'm listening to this program and I realize I've got a flag that probably does need to be retired, how should I get in touch with the Girl Scouts so that they can help me?
Sure. So visit our website, girlscoutsindiana.org, or you can call us at 855-GSCIN, so Girl Scouts Central Indiana, 4U. So 855-GSCIN, the number 4, the letter U. Or we have 8 service centers across Central Indiana in our 45 counties. You can visit any of those service centers up through this weekend, up through Memorial Day, to actually retire, to take your flag you'd like to have retired, or come out to the parade. We're taking flags 2 hours prior, so from 10 a.m. up until noon when the parade starts, we'll be taking the flags on the north steps of the Indiana War Memorial.
Go ahead, and people do not drive around with pencils ready for this. So if you could give them the URL one more time.
Sure, girlscoutsindiana.org.
Okay. And Kelby, how many, do you have any idea at an event like the parade, how many flags will be turned in? I know Rolls-Royce has already brought 30, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to add that 30 to our total. No, that's a great question. We had several last year. I know that because last year was the first year we collected them before the parade, this year we've been spreading the word out more. So we're hoping for, in addition to Rolls-Royce 30, I would love to see a ton coming in. And just because it is, as General Goodwin said, it is respectful, to properly retire that flag. And I think the fact that the Girl Scouts of Central Indiana and the Indiana War Memorials have made it so easy for people to do that, I think that we will see an increased number this year just because word has gotten out a little bit more. And real quickly, before I have to actually dart out of here, I wanted to comment on what General Goodwin said about the Girl Scouts being a little aggressive. I run the 500 Festival Princess Program, and one of my princesses is a former Girl Scout. And when I told her about this this initiative and this program, some of the Girl Scout, or the princesses go out and talk to outreaches, and they do a lot of Girl Scout meetings, actually. And she was like, oh, I'm going to go tell all my girls, all the Girl Scouts I'm talking to about this program if they hadn't already heard. And she came back to me like a week later and said, oh, they've already heard. They were all about it. And I was just, I laughed a little bit because I'm like, that's the Girl Scout way, mm-hmm. patriotism and service. And they are aggressive. And I think that's what makes it such a great program.
And Kelby, before I let you go, how do the parade goers respond to this effort?
I think very well. I think that, the parade is symbolic, for the Indy 500. But again, it happens on Memorial Day weekend. And so everybody is just showing up, pride and in our country and the theme of the parade, it does get to your skin, the white and blue, and it just, tugs at your heartstrings a little bit. And I think, again, this year, because we've gotten the word out a little bit earlier and more so, I think you're going to see a lot more people dropping those flags off because they're already coming down for the parade. So why not go down, between 10 and noon before the parade even starts and drop off their flag? So I think you're going to see an increased number this year. I'm excited to see the total. And again, just seeing how we can grow the program, for years to come.
Well, Kelby, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Have a good parade.
Thanks for having us. Thank
Certainly.
You. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. General Goodwin.
I just wanted to add that we saw an increase after last year's parade for the week or so following the parade that people had heard about it and then brought flags down to us. The other thing that we want to make clear is that we at the War Memorial will accept a flag for retirement any day of the year. And so it just doesn't – this isn't something that we just do for Memorial Day. And I can tell you that the flags that we retire, the Girl Scouts through their summer camp program is when they do this. And if you ever get a chance to see that ceremony, it'll make you really proud to be an American. And to see how those young girls react to that ceremony, I got to tell you, it brought tears to my eyes the first time I saw it. It's very, very moving and very emotional.
We are talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory. Questions of flag etiquette here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, on Twitter at WFYI, or send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Well, in terms of all of this, I'm going to ask, Deborah and Dina, you both made the case here that this is part of sort of a broader initiative on the part of the Girl Scouts to connect with themes of patriotism. Why was this one? There are many other ways we could have connected. You could have, cared for, gone to the VA, done all sorts of things to do that, to connect with that theme. Why was the flag the thing that connected, Deborah?
Well, let me back up and say that the flag isn't the only thing we do.
No, I gather that. But
we have one girl in earning her gold award, who is very active at the VA hospital and has been, to the point that she's gone and met with President Obama in the White House about VA affairs and has visited Walter Reed and really is involved with VA affairs and helping our wounded warriors acclimate back. So Girl Scouting is involved in patriotism and supporting particular armed forces across many platforms. We also have for years been sending Girl Scout cookies to our warriors. So this is one more thing we can do. What makes the flag collection special and unique is that girls can do this wherever they are. You don't have to be close to a Army or Navy or a military base. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be close to a VA hospital. You don't have to be directly involved with a veteran to do this. So that's the beauty of this one. Our girls across 45 counties, whether they're in a town with no stoplight or in the middle of Carmel with many stoplights, they can collect the flag. They can learn the reverence to the flag. The other thing about the beauty of this is that we run summer programs, and part of our tradition at camp is to open our morning with a flag ceremony. So when the girls arrive at camp, the first thing they do, get off the bus, and we raise the flag. Right before they get back on that bus to go home, we retire the flag. We have done that. What this allows us to do is to take one of those services on a Thursday or a Friday as the girls leave camp for the end of the week and teach them the etiquette of what happens when the flag is no longer usable. So it doesn't take special programming. It doesn't take extra resources. It teaches that ceremony. And our girls actually read the ceremony as it is ritualistically written that acknowledges the flag. What's the meaning of the flag? The colors, the stars, what are they symbolic of? And it's so that this particular program allows us to let every girl participate and get the experience. The caller who came in, Ellen, who said she was a Girl Scout in 46, is a tad bit older than me, but I do come from a generation where the flag ceremony and the learning of the flag and the proper retirement of the flag was taught as much as the Pledge of Allegiance and everything else is what we learned. Mm-hmm. So that we now are able to give this to another generation. One of the beauties of Girl Scouting, we can augment the education of girls outside the classroom because there are skills we need to be good citizens. Mm-hmm. And some of those skills are not academic. Mm-hmm. And so that's the beauty of the flag retirement. You can collect a worn and tattered flag anywhere you are. Mm-hmm. All girls are able to get into a camp environment at some point, and they can learn the proper retirement. And if any of us think back to anything you did first grade, second grade, third grade, mm-hmm. it still resonates in our minds. Mm-hmm. If anyone says to you, say the Pledge of Allegiance, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the fact you learned it way back when you were learning those things by rote. You know, they say even patients with Alzheimer's can do the pledge mm-hmm. because you can go back. So what we're teaching are things lifelong. Mm-hmm. They will always know. Even if a girl steps outside in her adult life and does something disrespectful for the flag, she knows it's disrespectful, which is different than not even knowing. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of the flag and why the flag ceremony is so important. And if I could add one more thing,
sure.
I don't think enough of us know the beauty and the history of the War Memorial. Mm-hmm. Getting girls inside the War Memorial to see it, it's a treasure in our city. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely beautiful. It is emotional. It really teaches us about ourselves, and we don't often have opportunity. We take our children to the War Memorial, mm-hmm. and we need to all go down and see it and remember.
We are talking about flag etiquette here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. We've gotten an email from a listener named Michael who says, we have a 48-star flag that is still in great shape. Mm-hmm. How should it be treated? Can it still be used, hung outside? General Goodwin, you're shaking your head.
that flag is an artifact. That is part of our history. And it would not be appropriate to fly that flag today because it would not include Hawaii and Alaska. This piece of cloth that we commonly refer to the flag, I can tell you from my military training and from different schools that I had to go to during the time of my involvement with the service, it becomes something bigger than yourself. It's about belonging to something that is bigger than yourself, and it's something that we're missing in this country today because we're too concerned about the political side of it or where our ethnicity came from and that kind of business. And what we need to concentrate on, the fact, is that we are Americans. And we live in the greatest planet, you know, the greatest time of this that this planet has ever seen. There's never been a country like this as far as freedom is concerned. And what that flag represents is freedom. And so it is our duty to display it properly and to display it as many times in the appropriate places that we possibly can. And that's really what the bottom line is of all of this, about how important that flag is of representing all of these different people that have come together to produce the greatest country in the world.
I want to ask a question, though, to pick up on Michael's thing. It's an artifact. Once a flag becomes an artifact, what's the proper way to deal with it? Assuming that it is not, you know, frayed or tattered or anything like that, that it's still in good condition as is. Obviously, it's still symbolic of a period of this country's history, and presumably you still want it treated with some respect, right?
Absolutely. If the flag is not going to be shown as an artifact like we do in the museum, we have several 48-star flags in our museum. What we would recommend is that the flag be retired. It has served, it has provided its service, and it is not current at this point in time.
So by retired, do you mean go through the ceremony where they can't keep it as an artifact?
Well, they can keep it, but as far as publicly displaying it.
Where I'm going with that is then, are there rules in terms of how the flag should be preserved as an artifact once it's outside of, to use the military, active service? It is now a relic of history. What are the proper, is there a protocol for dealing with it then?
Well, I know people that have 48-star flags that they're hanging at, you know, in places in their home. It was important to – they had a relative that served, or it was presented at the funeral of that service member. But out in the public, display of taking a flag that's not current would not be appropriate.
Okay. Well, I guess so there really isn't a protocol. It's just you want to treat it with some sort of respect, and it is for private viewing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Dina.
And to go along with that, I could tell you the flags that we get in like that are unique, have some history to them and so on, that people do offer for retirement. Mm-hmm. Our Girl Scouts love to see those. We pull those out. We talk about the history behind it. We acknowledge that it is different than the U.S. flag that perhaps our Girl Scouts are used to seeing. And so we actually love it when we get in flags that are a little bit different like that, because it allows us to even pull the program along even further and talk more about the history.
Well, and I'm asking the question because it's something we've done a show on honor flights and all of that, and obviously all of those World War II vets were serving under a 48-star flag.
That's so true, and I think we sometimes forget the girls that we're dealing with now. In their minds, there were always 50 states. Mm-hmm. Now, for us, I remember that there were 48, but they don't remember that. So it becomes a teachable moment for us, and you'd be surprised how big their eyes get when we tell them, well, I lived at a time there were 48 states. They think, oh, my goodness, you must be 90.
You say not quite.
No. Next week.
We're talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory here on No Limits, Questions of Flag Etiquette. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Deborah Hearn-Smith and Dina Podorf of the Girl Scouts of Central Indiana, General Stuart Goodwin, who's the Executive Director of the Indiana War Memorial. We were joined by Kelby Hicks a little while ago. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory and questions of flag etiquette today here on No Limits. My guests in the studio with me are Deborah Hearn-Smith and Dina Potter of the Girl Scouts of Central Indiana, and General Stuart Goodwin, who's the executive director of the Indiana War Memorial. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Another former Girl Scout here. I've had a question that I've been intending to look up lately, and then here's your show, so I'll just ask it. In my memory, one was supposed to retire the colors at sunset or evening, or the flag should be lit if it was to remain on the flagpole. I was wondering if that is still part of the etiquette or not.
Absolutely. The way you said it was perfect. That's exactly what's supposed to happen.
We've also gotten an email question from a listener named Jerry, and if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. Says, as a person who values the substance of freedom above the mere symbols of freedom, I find the doctrine of flag worship more than a little pernicious. It becomes too easy to confuse blind adherence to ritual with genuine patriotism. I strongly believe it was the patriot in me that caused me to march in the streets in support of civil rights for all Americans and in opposition to the war in Vietnam. I absolutely respect the rights of those who disagree with me, but I demand that my right to petition my government for redress of grievances be equally respected. The issue of flag etiquette merely diverts the attention of the ignorant from the real responsibilities of citizenship in a constitutional republic. I'm gathering somebody's going to want to respond to that. I'll start with you, Deborah.
I couldn't agree more that part of what we are teaching girls to celebrate is the freedom that the flag is symbolic of. In that freedom come two things, responsibilities and rights. We believe very much that girls have the right to different opinions, different sides of issues, and to stand for it with or without the support of what is the prevailing thought. So we're not teaching girls to go blindly into anything. We think that part of the American tradition is the right to protest as well as the right to not protest. And Girl Scouts and women have been on the forefront. If you want to go back even to the voting rights and women's equality, we were out there. Women were there, and there were women who were Girl Scouts out there. That doesn't mean we disrespect the flag or the country. If we love the country, we want the country to be the best that it can be. And by making sure that the women, the young girls in this country, reach their full potential and understand the rights and responsibilities of citizenship will make all of us live in a better place.
Dina, is that an uncommon reaction? I mean, have you heard that argument before from Jerry, that you're honoring the symbol rather than the substance?
No, honestly, we've not really gotten much pushback at all from the public, not a response like that. We've had overwhelming positive response to the patriotism and service we're teaching to girls through flag retirement.
Is there, General Goodwin, in terms of Jerry's, I'm not even sure we can call it a question. It's a statement, in effect, a challenge. The argument there is that we can get so wrapped up in revering the symbol that we lose sight of the thing. And in listening to you, I can tell that is on your mind too, that the flag is a symbol, but you want to keep in mind, you talk about the nation and what it means and all of that and being part of something bigger. How do you make that distinction in your own mind?
Well, first of all, my response to him would be, the reason I served for 37 years in the United States Air Force was to defend the Constitution, which gives him the right to say whatever he wants to say and how he wants to look at that, whether it be a symbol, whether it be, whichever way, positive or negatively. The freedom piece of all this is what, in my mind, is really important, because people can say what they want to say. They live in a in a country where they don't have to worry about a police state or somebody tracking him down for what he said or what he didn't say or what actions he took. We have protests, you know, all the time in the circle. We monitor the circle as well as the 24 acres of property downtown. And we have people that protest the war. And, you know, that people come to me and they say, well, doesn't that just stick in your craw about the fact that they're – and I said, not at all. You know, they have the right to do that. That's part of living in this great nation. And how they interpret what that flag is to them is part of that freedom.
I've gotten a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air. Just General Goodwin, could you walk us through how the rules for displaying the flag might have evolved over the years?
Wow, that's a question that has gone through several of the courses that I've taken. And it has actually evolved about through times about how people displayed it, where you could hang it, where you couldn't hang it. I can know we talked about age a little bit, and I want to be careful here not to offend anybody, but lived through the 60s. And
I was going to say, if you were in the service for 37 years, we've got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, probably so.
But you're not 22.
Yeah, I've already been pegged as being the Girl Scouts are being aggressive, so I'd be careful how I walk out of here today.
The
please don't want to get the Girl Scouts mad at you.
I got one on each side of me here, so I might have to have you walk me out. But you know, the flag was used in T-shirts and underwear and bathing suits and. You know, in the during the 60s, and especially during 64, during the Civil Rights Movement, the flag was in it. It was a time when people looked at it differently, and so now we've had a time when we don't see that as much. And I think that in some cases there is more respect. I think most of us that were around during 9/11 knew that you couldn't buy a flag. I mean, everybody was buying them. They were hanging them off of everything. You saw them in the back of pickup trucks and on poles and that kind of business. So I think the society and the way that we've evolved through history has caused a lot of that. But very, very rarely now do we see flags that are not respectfully displayed. I think probably the one that I know about is in a neighborhood not too far from me that the person flies the flag upside down every day, and that's, you know, a sign of distress is what that means. Mm-hmm. And so this person obviously believes that the country's in some form of distress, which is disrespectful from the standpoint that, you know, the majority of people wouldn't agree with that. But again, it's their right as Americans and with the freedom that we enjoy to be able to do that.
Is the intent important? I mean, I know people of my grandfather's generation, the idea of a flag being displayed from the back of a pickup truck would have struck them as disrespectful. But now we see that as an act of patriotism. Does it evolve over time also just by cultural custom?
Absolutely. I think what happened is that, you know, we saw a lot of 9/11 with people draping the larger flags over overpasses and on the interstates and that kind of business. And I think it was to show the colors, to show the unity. You know, when we were attacked on that day and over 3,000 people died during that time, it was the first time since Pearl Harbor that this nation, that actual land that belonged to the United States had been attacked. And it was something that was so foreign to all of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a way for them to, you know, to display the fact that we were together. We'd forgotten about those political things and we'd forgotten about all this other thing that made us different. We're now with one nation. Unfortunately, it was short-lived from the standpoint that to maintain that intensity is probably something that, you know, we wouldn't expect to happen. But I do think that there are more people flying flags than there were during the period prior to 9/11.
Now, you'd mentioned also wearing the flag as attire. You know, people were wearing it as T-shirts and all sorts of stuff. Now probably the most common is the American flag lapel pin. Is that disrespectful or, you know, a violation of protocol in any way?
No, not at all. In fact, there are those of us, especially military people, who even when we're in civilian clothing and wear a suit or a sport coat, would don the American flag. It's just a symbol of what we believe is important.
Are there any ways in terms of attire, like you still see occasionally the, you know, the American flag bandanas and the you know, American flag T-shirts? Are those respectful, a proper way to display Old Glory?
If, you know, if it's something where it just shows the flag and it's not, you know, it doesn't have something, you know, derogatory or that kind of business, I mean, sure, it's people's right if they want to wear that. It just brings me to a real quick story,
sure,
though, that a friend of mine who probably he's a listener of this station, they were building some construction ramps for the church that we go to for physically mm-hmm. challenged. And one of the guys that was there, one of the workers, took out a handkerchief and started to blow his nose into this handkerchief, and it was a small American flag. And of course, my friend, who's a retired lieutenant colonel and 20 some years, you know, in the Army, he went over to the guy and he said, I just want you to know that, you know, that's an American flag, and you know, blowing your nose in it is something that that I find disrespectful. And the guy, you know, didn't say anything to him, and it went on about the day. And an hour or so later, the guy came over and he says, you know, I never thought about it that way. And he says, I appreciate what your thoughts are about that, and it made me think about something. Now, that's an isolated story, but that's one story to where the guy just hadn't thought mm-hmm. about what he was actually doing, but it was disrespectful to somebody else. He brought it to their attention. And again, that's just one more example about living in the greatest nation in the world, where we can have those different thoughts and we can exchange them.
We are talking about Girl Scouts for Old Glory and questions of flag etiquette here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Well, Dina and Deborah, I'm going to ask you, out of this, what's the most moving story that's come? You know, the flag that has been through the most that has come to the Girl Scouts through this process. I'm sure there have been a lot of them, I mean, in that you've been doing this.
I it's not a flag for me, but it's a girl. For me, it's always about the girls. We have been doing this, and we really were hoping girls would be moved and girls would learn and come to respect the symbol of our country. But what we didn't expect were the number of girls, because they're invisible to us, whose fathers and mothers were not at home because they were away fighting a war now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of forget that we've been in combat now for several years. And we have many girls who would be at camp who the mother or the father one had been away for a year. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know that looking at her. But when you do the flag retirement and you talk about the people and the lives that have been given up and the sacrifices made, not only on foreign soil, but for people like our caller who fought in the country for mm-hmm. equality and for voting rights. And those girls, you see a little tear, and they say, my mommy's gone. My mommy's over there. My daddy's coming home in a month. He's in Iraq. He's in Afghanistan. And what we're able to give those girls was a sense that we appreciated their parents, that we understood the sacrifice they're going through. Because very often now, war is invisible. Most of us aren't touched. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no draft, there's no requirement to go. So we don't always remember that there are people missing in our very community here in Indianapolis who are still fighting for Old Glory. My impact has been those girls who mm-hmm. I could wrap my arms around and hug them and say, we know your mommy, we know your daddy, they're heroes.
I would think that would also just make the whole experience much more immediate for all of the other girls, too.
It does, because the other girls, they don't realize that right next to them, the girl they think is their best buddy is living with one parent gone. Mm-hmm. And the uncertainty of that parent return.
The parent not be there.
Will also, they return? Yeah. Will they be okay when they return? Will they be whole? That is something that we have forgotten as a nation. There are still men and women in harm's way. And their children are here. And we owe their children something. And this flag retirement, it may sound really hokey and very old-fashioned, but it brings home to our girls that there are still people on the front line.
It sounds like forgive me, but that's probably the best answer so far to Jerry's question. That, it, you know, it connects the symbol to the reality of the humanity here that, that is going on. We've got a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air. Says she has a grandmother, he or she has a grandmother, who fashioned refurbished retired flags into clothes such as bandanas, and would like to ask what the proper way to refurbish retired flags might be. Is there a proper way? General Goodwin shaking his head.
The problem with that is it may not be a proper way to do it. And see, I'm not military, so I can say this. I bet you that grandmother did it with utmost respect and the utmost of genuine reverence. For those of us who've lived through wars and have lost families in war, when those flags come home on that casket, draped over that casket, that is not a symbol you're going to get rid of. Mm-hmm. You're going to hold tight, because that's the way you hold tight to that relative. And I bet you that grandmother is holding tight to someone she loves. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to criticize her.
Mm-hmm. I've actually, more times than I want to remember, been the person to actually hand the flag to a mother or to a spouse. And on several occasions, they have just grabbed it out of my hand because that was their loved one at that point in time. That was the symbol. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing they had at that point in time to hold on to that particular person. And I can tell you that it's probably the toughest job that an officer has to supervise or to actually be involved with, and to lead one of those types. You know, the only thing that's harder is knocking on the door and telling them that they're gone at the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. But this business about the flag, there's more times than I can remember when they just would hold on to that, as Deborah's saying, so tight to remember that.
I'm taking us off the topic here, but just in pure human curiosity, what goes through your mind at times like that? I mean, you've got this family that's almost shattered.
Well, the way I always got through it was that, and I have knocked on people's doors at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, so that we live in such a world that the media and all the electronic information that they can get this information, and we want them to get it from us, and we want them to know what the facts are at that point in time. But you almost put yourself, you know, out of your own personality at that point in time. But when you're standing in their door and you have your uniform on, they know that something's wrong.
That is an appropriate last word for this subject. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.